If you have been part of Holy Trinity for any length of time, you likely have heard me say before that I'm somebody who doesn't really have much of a green thumb. Ask me to grow something and I'm often not very successful. I've used seeds before in children's talks, and I planted those seeds in pots, and more often than not, when I've taken those seeds home, they haven't sprouted. Some of you may remember that I used to have a large plant in my office. Well, it died. When it comes to me and growing things, let's just say we don't mix all that well. Now, for many of you, I know it's quite different. Many of you love to plant things, and your success rate is far better than mine. Now, perhaps it was because you did a lot of reading about growing things, or perhaps you were taught by your parents. Perhaps it just comes naturally to you. You know, back in Jesus' day, the theory behind the growing of plants was pretty well understood by the general population. It wasn't just farmers who made money from things they grew that knew about horticulture, because pretty well everybody did. Because most people grew something. Those who weren't growing things to sell were growing things for their own consumption. If they wanted to eat, then they needed to know how to plant things and how to care for them once they were planted. In Jesus' day, it was an agricultural society. And that also would have been the case amongst the community that John was writing his Jesus story to. People generally understood horticulture to some extent. So it made perfect sense to Jesus then to use horticultural images when he was wanting to teach. Throughout the Jesus stories, we see Jesus take things that were familiar to help shed light on the kingdom of God. Now, I'd like us to spend some time with our reading today from John's Jesus story, listening for God to be speaking to us through it. And I want to use as my title today, Maybe Jesus Doesn't Want Us to Grow. Now, in our passage last Sunday, we heard Jesus talking about sheep and shepherds. This week, we have him talking about vines. And in our passage today, we heard Jesus say these words from verse 5 of our passage. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, I think before we even go on to explore the words we heard Jesus say, I think it might be helpful for us to understand a bit about some of the background, some of the underlying things that Jesus' followers and the people of John's community would have had as part of their understanding when they were hearing these words. Jesus said, I am the vine. Now, this is in fact the seventh of Jesus's I am sayings from the Gospel of John. In those sayings, Jesus relates himself to some image, and he says, I am. Something that people would have been familiar with. It was kind of like holding up that picture to them and inviting people to kind of use it as a filter to see him through. So let me just list those seven I am statements of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door or the gate. I am the good shepherd, as we heard about last Sunday. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in today's passage, I am the vine. Now, I think all seven of those images would have been powerful images, but there's something underlying to each one of them that makes them even more significant. And to discover what that is, we've got to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Back in the book of Genesis, those of you who aren't familiar, book of Exodus, If you're not familiar with the story, the people of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. And they were crying out for release. And God wanted to lead them out of Egypt into the promised land. And so he called Moses to lead the people. And so he met with Moses through a burning bush. And Moses said to God, well, what if when I go to the people, they don't know who it is who really sent me? What am I going to say? What's your name? What if they ask me your name? And so in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So if we move into the New Testament, the life of Jesus, there was a time when Jesus was being attacked verbally by some opponents. They didn't like the things he was saying, and they were saying, our father is Abraham. And Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. People then were in an uproar. They started picking up stones, getting ready to throw them at Jesus because he was relating the term I am, God's name, with himself. So when Jesus said in verse 1 of our passage today, I am the true vine, people's ears would have perked up. It would have caught their attention. Jesus wasn't just talking in a word picture about a vine, but rather he was using that word picture and connecting it with the most holy God of Israel. So what was Jesus talking about? What would have come to the minds of the people as they listened to Jesus speak to them? And what would have come to the minds of John's community as they listened to these words of Jesus? Well, I think one of the very first things that they would have thought of is that this has to do with relationship. Remember last week, the image of relationship that we were given was one of a shepherd with the shepherd's sheep. And I talked about such a relationship of sheep coming to know the shepherd's voice. And the only way sheep become familiar with the shepherd's voice was by spending time together. Last week I gave an example to the children. And I talked about a time when I was walking in England through a sheep pasture and the sheep, they scattered. And then looking further into the pasture, I saw somebody else where the sheep didn't scatter, and that was because it was the shepherd. The shepherd didn't frighten them because he'd spent some time with them. So last week we had a picture of relationship. And yet in our passage today we see Jesus going even a step further to help those who were listening understand the significance, the depth, the intimacy of that relationship. Because the image of sheep and shepherd does have some limitations. Sheep, they can exist without a shepherd. Now, they might not thrive. They might run into some problems. But they can live at least for some time without the shepherd. There isn't absolute dependency from those sheep to the shepherd. So I think in our passage today, Jesus decides to take things a bit further. Decides to take another step. Because when it comes to branches and a vine, while one can exist without the other, a vine can live without the branches, branches cannot live without the vine. In order to live, branches of the vine have to be attached to the vine. Children knew that in the children's talk today. In verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And here, Jesus is here taking a step further, talking about relationship. The necessary relationship between Jesus and his disciples. I want to encourage you to allow that image to linger with you. Picture the intimacy of such a relationship, of branches to vine. And let God speak to you of Jesus' desire of relationship with you. That's the kind of relationship Jesus wants. A relationship of intimacy, where we're drawing nourishment because we're connected to Him. I guess as we allow that image to linger with us, it might be helpful to examine where our current relationship with Jesus is and to ask ourselves this question: in what way might my relationship with Jesus be likened to a vine and its branches? You know, it's too easy for us to say, yes, Jesus is my shepherd and I am His sheep. It's too easy for us to say, yes, Jesus is the vine and I'm a branch. But how true is that really? How is that seen in our lives? To what extent would Jesus describe your relationship with Him as one of intimacy? Let's keep going. Let's keep that image of vine and branches and reflect further on what Jesus might have been trying to say. Something I didn't mention at the beginning was that would have contributed to the understanding of those who were listening was that the people of Israel, they understood themselves as being of the vineyard of God. Whenever Jesus spoke about vineyards, there would have been a kind of a personal connection to what He was saying. All that would have added just even another layer to the understanding as they heard Jesus speak. So what's the purpose of a vineyard? Well, a vineyard obviously is meant to produce fruit. And perhaps that's been one of my problems when I've grown things in the past. Because my focus has not been, it's been more on just growing the plant and less on anything else. In the past, I've made sure that plants have had water and sunlight. But other than that, I've kind of left them to themselves. And seldom do they ever flourish. What I've come to learn, though, is that I've focused my attention in the wrong places. You know, for a long time, the Christian church has used the image of things planted as a metaphor for disciples, as well a metaphor for the church. And the call for us has been that we should be seeking to grow. I remember years before I went to seminary, I remember taking a course and in which the desired outcome for those who were participating in this course was that we would grow in our faith. Not only is this something that we look for in individuals, but it's also something we look for in the church. There are churches for whom it's very clear that there is a desire that their church grow in size. And let me be honest, certainly that's been something I've desired over the years. Right from the time I left seminary, it was my hope that the churches I would be a part of would be growing churches. Now, granted, that wasn't my only desire, but the desire for growth has been something that has always impacted my ministry. But you know, as I reflected on our passage from John's Jesus story earlier this week, I found myself wrestling with the whole notion of growth. Is that what Jesus is looking for? As an individual, is Jesus looking for me to grow? As a church, is Jesus' greatest desire that a congregation gets a little bit bigger each year? Now, regardless of whether or not we're experts in horticulture, when we think about grapevines, pretty much all of us have a sense of what we need to be looking for to determine whether a grapevine is doing well or not. We look not at the growth, but we look at the fruit. There could be a grapevine that has displayed massive growth, a grapevine with new branches all over the vine. But if those branches don't lead to fruit, then the grapevine isn't fulfilling its purpose. When I think about being a follower of Jesus, maybe Jesus' greatest desire isn't that I grow. When it comes to the church community, maybe the number of growth there is, the number of people in that church isn't of utmost importance to him. Now, before people get stuck on anything that I'm saying here, let me make it clear. I don't really believe that God doesn't want us to grow. I believe our relationship with Jesus is meant to mature. The Apostle Paul talks about us needing to move on from spiritual milk to spiritual solid food. I believe we are called to mature. I believe our relationship with Jesus is meant to get stronger. And when it comes to the church, I believe a healthy church will be one where there is growth. But I think I would question whether either of those things was Jesus' main focus. Because when we look at growth individually, it's about our relationship with Jesus. Our relationship going deeper. And I guess I've got to question that. Is our focus meant to be more on us inwardly, on how well we are getting to know Jesus more? Getting to know Jesus isn't for our sakes. It's for the sake of the world. So that we would live differently. So that we might shine Jesus' light in the world. The more we focus on our growth, I think it leads us in the wrong direction. We might kind of pat ourselves on the back that we know more stories about Jesus than we knew last year. We might feel good because we've spent a bit more time in our Bible reading than we did the year before. We've become a bit more honest to God within our prayers. And all those things, they can be good. But I think that God would like those things to be happening in us, but only if those things are actually making a difference in the way that we live our lives. God wants those things to be making a difference. He wants to see us bearing fruit. Being disciples of Jesus isn't just about what's happening inside of us. Being disciples of Jesus is about how we're being transformed to live differently in the world. That the world might begin to see Jesus. And when it comes to a particular church growing in size, that potentially could be significant. But as far as Jesus is concerned, it also could have absolutely no relevance. In 1999, at the International Consultation on Discipleship, African theologian Tokunbo Adeyemo lamented this, saying that the church is 1 mile long but only 1 inch deep. He was lamenting the depth of discipleship. A church can be full of people, and yet discipleship among them can be troubling. Growth in numbers doesn't automatically lead to growth in discipleship. Doesn't automatically lead to fruits. I believe as far as Jesus was concerned, it wasn't growth per se that he was looking for. No, Jesus was looking for fruit. Now, we might be tempted here to think that Jesus is referring to the unbelievers. That if they don't start bearing fruit, then they're going to have to call account and they'll be called to account. But remember, Jesus was talking to the disciples. The community that John's writing to, that was the church. Jesus was looking for fruit from among them. Jesus is looking for fruit among you and me. When it comes to discipleship, too many people have turned their attention inward. We focus ourselves on deepening our relationship with Jesus. But if that deepening relationship doesn't transform our lives, if that doesn't make a difference in the way we relate to the people around us, if it doesn't influence our choices and our actions, then that growth is absolutely meaningless. In verse 4 of our passage today, Jesus said this, "Remain in me as I remain in you." In other translations, it's phrased this way, "Abide in me as I abide in you." When I think of that word abide, I think of the place where I live. I mean, my house is my abode. It's a place where I abide. Jesus is calling us to abide in him. And you know, I believe if we truly were to abide in Jesus, and I'm thinking as much about myself as I think of any of us, if we truly were to abide in Jesus, then the way we lived in the world would be so much dramatically different than the way many of us are living now. Abiding in Jesus, really abiding in Jesus, should be affecting everything. It affects how we carry out our work and our work day, what kind of neighbor we are to the people around us, how we make decisions, how we spend our money. Truly abiding in Jesus touches every part of us. It affects who we are and how we relate to the world. So how is that going for you? What kind of fruit are you seeing? And perhaps a bit more important question is, what kind of fruit are other people seeing in you? Jesus said in verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, something real gardeners know is that when fruit is the focus, when it's the end goal, then in order to produce fruit, there are things that need to be removed. There are times when branches need to be pruned for the greater good of the vine. A plant's energy needs to be focused. And so rather than allowing all the branches on the vine to keep growing, certain ones need to be pruned. So the energy that would have been required to get those branches growing, that energy can go towards the branches that are bearing the fruit. Any branch that might be taking nutrients away from the places where the gardener is looking for the fruit, those branches are pruned. So the vine can fulfill its potential. In our passage today, Jesus said to those who were listening, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will bear even more fruit." He was saying to each of them, your lives need to be examined carefully, so that which isn't leading to fruit can be removed. As we reflect on that ourselves, I think it raises some questions for us. Like this, what in my life is taking up energy that isn't leading to fruit for the kingdom? What's taking up energy that isn't leading to fruit of the kingdom? What fruit might be born in me if I allowed God to do some pruning? You know, I think that those words, "if I allowed," is key here, because in a way, that's where Jesus' metaphor breaks down, because on a real grapevine, branches are just at the mercy of the gardener. Those the gardener wants to prune are pruned. With us, we kind of hold on to some of those branches for dear life, unwilling to let go of them, even though we know some of those branches that need to leave us, some of those branches that are affecting us bearing fruit for the kingdom, we just want to hold on to them. So I want to ask you those two questions again. What in your life is taking up energy that isn't leading to the fruit for the kingdom? And what fruit might be born in you if you allowed God to do some pruning? So what is Jesus saying to you today? What is the Holy Spirit stirring within you? What is God saying about growth, about fruit, and about how you're living in the world? May we allow Jesus' words to continue to linger with us this week, pondering that intimate relationship between branches and vine. And may we have the courage to allow some pruning so we might bear much fruit and so point to the kingdom and show ourselves to be real disciples of Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that Jesus is the vine, and that we can be the branches. We thank you for that intimate relationship that you offered to us. Lord, help us to grow in that relationship that we might bear fruit in our lives. And Lord, we pray that you will give us the courage to let go of some of those things that are hindering that growth. Prune us that we might bear more fruit for you. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.